Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
It's great to see everyone here. Thank you for being here. Thank for the good attention that you give in class, that you've been giving in class. So they're finishing passing out the contact cards. Like they mentioned, if you have any that's close, fill this out and then put it in the black box in the back. So we like to start each class with a key point reminder from the previous class. So last week, Ty did a great job of talking about two Bible characters that showed us how to evangelize and how not to evangelize. Does anybody remember the first Bible character that was a good example of how we should evangelize? Anybody remember? Who? Yeah, Stephen. So Stephen showed us that we can evangelize, or that he evangelized at all costs. You know, nothing was going to stop Stephen, our brother, from carrying out his mission. And then the second Bible character we talked about was an example of what we shouldn't do when it comes to evangelizing. Who was that? Yeah, Moses. And we normally think of Moses as being, you know, a great leader, which he was. But the scriptures share this other side of him, of where he gave almost every excuse to the Lord about, you know, why he didn't want to carry out this mission. So we learned a lot from these two great men of how we can evangelize, and that if they can do it, we can do it. So as we mentioned in the first class, you know, this quarter is a little different in that action will be requested outside of the classroom. You know, our classroom is our training that we want to put to practice out in the field or in the world. So we've been working on these contacts. And then last week we passed out the invitation cards, which that'll be merging into some more invitation cards coming later with the School of Evangelism. But did anyone get to give out a invitation card this last week? Okay. We actually got to give a card out this last week, and I'd like to share with you what happened. And I say we, Paula and I. If you're like us, you have a handful of your favorite restaurants that you like to go to, and they're on your rotation. And so the good thing with that is you get to build relationships with people that work at these restaurants, because you get to see them on a regular basis somewhat. And you also can build relationships with customers. We've even noticed that other people have the same habits as us about liking a particular restaurant or eating there at the same time. But there's a lady that works there. Oh, by the way, the restaurant is Super Chicks. So we went to Super Chicks this past Sunday. They just don't order. They fix the chicken and fries for you when you order it. So it's just really good. They have a great chocolate custard with Oreos. So it's but there's a lady there we usually talk to. And before we went in, we were saying, you know, she's a contact. And so we went in like we usually do, and sure enough, her and Paula was talking. We both have a daughter that's the same age, and they've both recently moved out of the house And so we have that in common. And so that's kind of built a bridge. And it's kind of started a relationship with her. And she brought our food to us and was talking some more. And Paul said, "We really enjoy talking to you. You should come to church with us." And of course, we were in our dress clothes. You know, she knew we'd been at church. But she said, "Well, you know, thank you. I would like to do that, but I have to work on Sundays." And without missing a beat, Paula said, "Well, we also meet on Wednesday evening." And she said, "Well, you know, I might could come on Wednesday, actually." And we said, "Well, here's your invitation." And so we gave her one of them cards and said, "You know, here's the where we meet, the address, the times, the day, and it's got our name and number on it. You know, contact us if you have any questions." But we know on that card it says, you know, free Bible presentation to share the simple theme of the Bible. And on the back it said, you know, the Bible is the most popular book in history, but also the most misunderstood book. And I want to share the simple Bible theme with you. So that's the advantage of that card, is we are able to make it really personal by putting your name and number on that card. And that was one step closer we was able to get with her as far as being able to take next steps. But since she does have our name and number, if she doesn't come right away, like was talked about earlier, you know, life events happen to people. So if it was a health issue or a job loss or a death, you know, she could start seeking any time in the future, and she'll have our card with her name and number and the church and all that reference that she can reach out or come. And something Paul reminded me of I didn't think about was she also has a circle of friends that could deal with issues as well. And now she has our information that she could refer us to them as well. But this isn't shared to be in a prideful way. That's just shared for the same reason Rob Whitaker shared all of the examples he did of evangelizing, that we can do this. You know, all we have to do is try. And then coming up in class, I'll share some other instances where I got to give it out, invite card out to a guy I'd met for the first time at the movies and what happened. And a guy where we go to Publix, where we do our shopping usually. And he's a stalker, and just you get to talk to him. So I'll share some of that in some upcoming classes. Okay, so for lesson three, we want to talk about why. Why do we struggle with evangelism? Let's read first Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 33. We read some of this last week. This is a familiar passage, and then we'll break that down some. So it was about midnight. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself. We are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. So we see here hurt and tired, they continued to worship God. You know, even though Paul and Silas had been thrown into prison, that wasn't going to stop them from worshiping God. It says they sing praises to God. They knew they had an audience of prisoners around them that was listening. And Paul cared enough to want to stop the jailer from killing himself. He knew the jailer needed salvation, and he wanted to share the gospel with the jailer. And this is an important conversion story because the jailer asked, well, what must I do to be saved? And Paul told him. And so this is the same question people ask and may ask us today. You know, what must I do to be saved? And so we can easily show this passage in Acts 16 of what they must do. So this is a good one to keep in your memory. And if it's not there, just go ahead and store it away. What helps me, as I'm sure with you, is with kids sing and the repetition of, you know, Lydia and the jailer is Acts 16. And then it also helps me to remember, you know, 16 is when you start to get your driver's license. And then Acts is when the church started. So Acts 16 is where it will always be found of what you must do to be saved. This example. But as I think about this story, you know, I think about myself and I'm humbled because, you know, I think, well, would I be able to be singing praises at midnight to God after being beaten with rods? Let's look at the few verses before this now, verses 22 through 24. The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. So as if it wasn't enough for them to be thrown into prison, we see it says here, even the crowds joined in attacking them. They tore their clothes off and they beat them with rods. It says they inflicted many blows upon them. And they not only put them in prison, but they fastened their feet into stocks. So would I care enough to try to cry out to this guy that was about to commit suicide that just did all of this painful stuff to me? You know, we need to have hearts like Paul and Silas did. Paul cared enough to say something. Do we care enough to say something? So before we can address the how of evangelism, we must ask all of ourselves some questions. Why am I committed when it comes to evangelism? Do I recognize how many are lost in their sins? Do I care enough to get out on the battlefield for King Jesus? And in this lesson, we're about to look at some of the reasons we struggle for evangelism, or about evangelism, is five key points, and they all start with the letter C. So we're going to look at each of these words and what we can do to overcome them. This is the first one. Conscious or conscientious. Sometimes we may struggle with evangelism because we're not conscientious about our surroundings or the people around us. So when we think back to the story with Paul in Acts 16, we see that he was conscientious, you know, of the jailer. And that Paul could have been consumed more about his pain and everything he was dealing with, but he wasn't. You know, he was aware of that jailer that was lost. Then we have a few other examples the Bible gives us we'll look at here. Matthew 9:36 When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So who was Jesus aware of? When he saw the crowds. So he was aware of all the souls around him, all the people around him. In Luke 19, Jesus was aware of Zacchaeus. You know, even among all a large crowd of people, he was aware. Acts 17:16, Paul was aware of all the false idols being worshipped around him. It says, he was in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there to reason with them. So it'd kind of be like us being at a grocery store or our market, farmer's market. There are opportunities all around us. Sometimes it does not hit me right away because I'm going about my agenda, my routine, my to-do list, you know, my priorities, my interests, me, 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 me. But I have to remember it's not about me. And as soon as we, sooner we can accept that is when we'll start making it about other people. Which, that's not easy, you know, to deny self, especially in today's world. So it is a challenge. So what can we do to raise our conscience about people around us? We can see people as souls. And this is something that's helped me. This is something the elders presented at the beginning of the year with focus. You know, in the last letter, S, said, see people as souls. And there's some other benefits to doing that as well. It just makes us more friendly to people. So it helps us to engage and want to talk to people. Helps us be more kind to people when we see them as souls. And it can also help us to avoid sin. For example, if we saw someone of the opposite sex, and if we were tempted to do anything, we can think, well, hey, you know, that could be a potential brother or sister of mine in Christ. So when we start seeing and thinking about people as souls, that changes for us. So conscious. We must always be conscious of our surroundings. And that's going to help us bring up the spiritual things to people, or to invite them to church, or to offer to share the gospel with them. All right, the next C is confidence. One of the big reasons sometimes people struggle with sharing with evangelism is their lack of confidence. And we saw a little bit in the lesson Todd did last week with Moses. Some have said, well, it can be easy to look at Paul and the apostles. These guys were inspired by God, so they knew what to say. And, you know, they didn't have to think about it. Whereas we, maybe don't always know what to say, and we do. But that's not the case. We see, for example, in Acts 18:9, the scriptures tell us that, you know, they had fear. Jesus told them, don't be afraid. It says in the Greek New Testament, the prohibition is literally, stop being afraid. You know, tell others about me. Don't be silent. So we see the Apostle Paul, as great as he was, he still had fear. Another example, Paul shared his fear in 1 Corinthians 2:3. So God does not want his proclamation of word to be characterized by a spirit of fearfulness from us. 2 Timothy 1:7. So let's look at two good Bible character examples in regards to this. The first one, Mark 5, about the demon-possessed man. We know that story. He was healed and Jesus sent the demons into the pigs. So what did Jesus tell him to do in verse 19? He said to go tell the others about the Lord. And after the man was healed, what did he do in verse 20? he went away and began to proclaim Jesus and tell others. So this man could easily have said, you know, I'm just not confident enough to tell someone in the village or to tell anyone or everyone about what happened. Besides, they're not my problem anyway. But he didn't do that. You know, the Lord told him to go tell, and he went and told the others. And they were amazed. And then the second good example here is John 4, passage we've been studying with the Samaritan woman. Jesus spoke to her and told her, verse 30, and for her to go tell the other people, and they responded to what she had said and came to Jesus. So this woman knew enough to speak, you know, to the others in her area, and so do we. So what's something we can do to increase our confidence in trying to carry out the work of God? And with this example, we see that we can begin by starting talking about non-spiritual things. You know, that's easy. That's not confrontational. And then, just as Jesus did with the Samaritan woman, you know, we can get it turned into a spiritual conversation. The other thing that builds our confidence is preparation. You know, if we already know the basic ways that we're going to say or do something to invite someone to church or to share the gospel, just like Glenn has started going through with us this morning with Back to the Bible, then that gives us confidence to be able to do it if we know how to do it and what we're going to do. But if we don't know for sure how we're going to do it, then often we don't know for sure what we're going to say, and then usually we just don't end up saying anything. So that preparation that we're doing now with these lessons is important for us to feel confident that, yeah, we can do it, and that we know what to say to help us say something. All right, the next C. And it is a class, so if you have a comment or something to say, you're welcome to say something as well. The next C is courage. So many Christians struggle with having the courage to take them initial steps to talk with someone about Jesus. But God has called us to be bold and courageous. So a passage like to look at that's often overlooked when it comes to evangelism is Acts 6, 7. It says, the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient in the faith. So it's interesting that Luke recorded here that a great number of the priests were becoming obedient in the faith. You know, typically we think about somebody that's a religious leader is going to be the most difficult one or ones to convert. But our brothers and sisters, the saints then, had enough courage to talk to these men and to demonstrate to them that this was Jesus, the Messiah. What helps me when talking with someone of a denomination faith, especially if they're more educated in their faith, is I think, okay, well, they believe this or do this, so apparently they're not as strong in the scriptures as I think they are if they're obviously not going by some of these things that says what you should do or shouldn't do. And the other thing we show here we can do to help our courage is to pray for courage. You know, pray for helping me know what to say, when to say it, and who to say it to. God's with us. James 5:16 says we should pray to fear God more than man. You know, help me to remember that God's right there beside us, so He's with us. Then the last part we'll look at here for courage is we can encourage each other. And you know, it's not bragging to share with each other our contacts or Bible studies or something we're doing with other people. That helps us to want to do more. You know, it's good to say good job. Last Sunday, Glenn Holmes had said, "Hey, David, I have a Bible study with a couple across the road." And I said, "Well, that's great. Let me know how it goes." So, you know, it's that type of communication that can help each of us to want to do more and hold accountability to evangelize. So courage helps us to evangelize. The next C, conform. You know, we can conform to God's will, or we can conform to man's will. There is a conformance test on human behavior that shows most of us as humans prefer to go with the crowd because we want to be accepted. You know, we don't want to stand out as far as being the different one. And so this test they did, this controlled test, was in a busy building. There's an elevator, and you may have saw this before. And there's about 15 people that get on the elevator, and everybody's in on this except for this one girl. She's about in her 20s. When everybody gets on the elevator, they all continue to face the back of the elevator, except for this one girl that doesn't know what they're doing. You know, she turns around, faces the front like you're supposed to. But you can see with the cameras they have in the elevator, it's really awkward for her. And she's kind of looking down at her phone like, okay, well, you know. But she's not about to say something and call attention. And it goes to the next floor, and a few get off, and some more come on that are also on it, and they're still facing the back. And it's neat to see as it keeps going up, she gradually keeps turning around until eventually she's also facing the back of the elevator just to conform and be like everyone else. And that's the only reason that she's doing that. So it's the same with, you know, not evangelizing. It's easy for us to conform with the world and the society norm to, you know, not say something about the Bible or bring up something spiritual. Because, especially today, it's more like you believe what you believe, I believe what I believe. You know, we leave it at that. We'll just do the easy chit-chat, confrontational conversation. But somebody obeying the gospel is more important and more valuable than anything in a person's entire life. So evangelism is going to be the way for us to be able to show them that. Just most lost souls do not know, or they've just been taught incorrectly. So yes, we do all have different personalities. You know, some of us are more social than others. Some of us don't want to stop talking and are loud, and others are more quiet and doesn't say much. But we all know somebody to share the gospel with or to invite them to church. 1 Timothy 2:4. God desires all men to come to the knowledge of truth and to be saved. So our mission is to help people to come to that knowledge of truth. So conform. We must conform to God's will, or we will conform to man's will. Then the last C we'll look at is care. And surprisingly, this may be the biggest reason why many struggle with evangelism is care. And which, that's sad to say, that's a reason. And it's not necessarily that we don't care, it's that we don't care enough. Jesus is our example here. Jesus cared. We read Matthew 9:36-38. You know, it shows the compassion and care he had for others. Plus, we know he cared enough for us because he died for us. He died for our sins and the entire world on the cross, John 3:16. We know the Apostle Paul, he cared enough with the Philippian jailer that we talked about. Because, why should we care? Because what is coming is those who do not repent from their sins. In Matthew and Romans 2:5-11, the Lord tells us eternal torment. So we know the consequences of what is coming for the lost. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:10-11 what we can learn from Paul. He says, these passage here shows that we are responsible for what we do. You know, we should want to tell others. And that we need to care because they are lost. You know, that they do need rescuing. So there's 2 points to this. First, do we believe we have people in our lives that are lost? And then second, do we care enough about them to take action? And the last point about caring is the gospel has power to save souls. The opportunities are there. Do we care? Example I'd read in an evangelism book is a true story. These two guys were working out. They're both members of the church. And one said, you know, you should invite that guy to Bible study. It's a guy they usually see there and are familiar with. They didn't even know, you know, each other's name. And he said, okay. And he went over and offered a Bible study with him. And the guy said, sure. And the Christian, he was floored. He couldn't believe that this guy actually agreed to it. And soon after this, with the studying, he obeyed the gospel. And then it was a year later that his wife obeyed the gospel. And then they had children. And so they was able to raise faithful children. But we can see the Christian was not expecting that response. You know, he just thought he would try. Just to say them few words, he cared enough. So we may struggle with evangelism, but we don't have to always struggle with evangelism. And in some upcoming classes, we'll talk about some more with that, about how we can change our mindset to be more evangelistic. We can be successful. John 4:34-38. The opportunities are now and they're endless. There's one part I wanted to get to before the end of the bell. Another thing people struggle with is false hope. And the problem with this is many people think they are already obeyed the gospel. And that they're already saved and did what they needed to, and so that they don't need anything. So this is our target audience. You know, the denominationally churched in addition to the unchurched. I wanted to share a good example I have in regards to this false hope that kind of illustrates it. Where I work, we were going to go on a trip. And our spouses were able to come. So we were excited about it and planned it and find out what everything we needed to do to get in order. And the only thing we was missing was our passport. And so we was told we'd go to the post office and get a passport. And so we went there and told them what we were doing. They said, yes, this is what you need. So filled out the paperwork, took a picture, paid the fees, and we got our passport. And we lined up babysitting with Brooke, and we got our bags packed, and we got to the airport early, and we got to the ticket line, and gave her our paperwork. She said, okay, all I need is your passports. And so it's like, okay. And we gave her our passports, and she said, these are not right. And I was still smiling because I just thought she was teasing. But then she wasn't smiling, so I stopped smiling, and I said, well, what's wrong? And she said, these are our passport cards. This is if you're walking over the border or driving or going by boat, but you're flying, so you have to have a passport book. And I said, well, that's not what we were told or what I understood. And she said, well, it doesn't matter what you were told or what you believe. This is what you have to have. And we tried to plead our case with her. You know, we're not bad people. But the point is, you know, I intentionally did not do the wrong thing. I sincerely believed and thought what I was doing was the right thing. And we could see other people entering through the gate, you know, on the other side that had did the right thing. But we didn't read the airline rule book ourselves of what we should have did. And so we wasn't permitted to go through. But I was just thinking, you know, why couldn't somebody have told me this before that I had understood it incorrectly? You know, why couldn't somebody have told me the truth? But it was too late. You know, there was no second chances, and we was not allowed to go on that trip. So I couldn't help but think of this example, you know, about false hope that so many people have, and how many people identify as Christians and will tell you confident they are, but and many have already even been baptized, but just for the wrong reason. But they do believe, you know, they've did what they needed to do to get to their destination. And they have their bags packed and they're taking their family with them. But this is also a good example of why we can't just believe what, you know, our family tells us. Like Glenn mentioned earlier, you know, we have to learn this for ourselves. You know, my spouse trusted me. She believed me, and I said, yes, this is what we needed. And so not only did I not get to go, but she didn't get to go. And she still reminds me of that. But Matthew 7:21, we know it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father in heaven. And then he's going to say, well, you know, God, we believed, and we did this and that. And he's going to say, depart from me, I didn't know you. So from my experience, most people do not intentionally do wrong. They have just been taught wrong or understanding incorrectly. All right. So next week, Ty will be talking. Appreciate your attention.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.